ever jumped into a VR world, you know, ready for adventure, only to be hit with like this wave of nausea.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, we've all been there.
It's the worst.
Cyber sickness. It's the bane of VR existence.
Yeah, it really is.
But what if I told you there might be a way to personalize your VR experience so you can say goodbye to that icky feeling for good?
It's a pretty wild thought, using our own brainwaves to create a smoother, more enjoyable VR experience.
Okay, so let's dive into this.
Okay.
We're talking about using brain imaging tech specifically, something called FNIRS, to combat cyber sickness.
Right.
But first off, why is moving around in VR such a recipe for nausea in the first place?
Well, think about it. Like, in the real world, your brain is seamlessly integrating signals from your eyes, inner ear, and muscles to give you a sense of motion.
Right.
It's a beautifully orchestrated symphony of senses. But VR throws a wrench in that symphony.
Yeah.
Suddenly, your eyes are telling your brain you're flying through the air while your body is, like, firmly planted on the couch.
Yeah.
Our brains just haven't quite evolved to handle that kind of sensory mismatch.
Yeah, like trying to read in a moving car.
Precisely.
Your brain gets all confused.
Yes, and this research zeroes in on those VR setups where the virtual world is way bigger than your actual play space. So you're forced to make these quick, jerky movements that can really trigger that motion sickness feeling.
Ah, so that explains why I always feel a little worse after a VR roller coaster ride.
Right.
But haven't developers already tried to fix this? I mean, there's teleporting and stuff.
True, teleporting is one workaround.
Yeah.
It gets you from point A to point B instantly, so no nausea-inducing movement. But it's like skipping ahead in a movie.
Yeah.
You lose that sense of actually traveling through the virtual world.
Right, it takes away from the immersion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's narrowing the field of view, which is kind of like putting blinders on a horse.
Of course.
It reduces sensory overload, but at the cost of, you know, your immersive experience.
So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
You either risk getting sick or you sacrifice immersion.
Right.
Not ideal.
And that's where FNIRS swoops in with the potential to make VR experiences both comfortable and immersive.
Okay, you've piqued my interest.
Okay, great.
Break it down for me. What is FNIRS and how does it work?
So FNIRS stands for Functional Near Infrared Spectroscopy.
Kitschy.
Right. Don't let the name intimidate you.
Okay.
It's way more straightforward than it sounds. Basically, it's like a gentler, more user-friendly version of an MRI.
Okay.
It uses near-infrared light to measure blood flow in the brain, specifically oxygen levels.
So it's safe, non-invasive.
Absolutely. And here's the kicker. Researchers are working on integrating it right into VR headsets.
Wow.
Just imagine a couple of extra sensors and that's it.
No more bulky equipment or trips to the hospital just to enjoy some VR.
Exactly.
I'm listening.
Good.
But how does measuring blood flow in the brain help with cyber sickness?
Here's where it gets really cool.
Okay.
Remember that sensory mismatch we talked about?
Yeah.
How your eyes and body are telling your brain different things in VR?
Right.
Well, that mismatch causes stress in the brain.
Right. Stress makes your blood pressure go up, your heart races.
Exactly. And that stress can be measured. One of the things FNIRS can detect is the level of deoxygenated hemoglobin in the brain.
Deoxygenated hemoglobin.
Yeah.
So blood that's like missing oxygen.
Basically, when your brain is working hard, when it's trying to reconcile conflicting sensory information, it uses up more oxygen.
Yeah.
So more deoxygenated hemoglobin, which FNIRS picks up on.
And increased deoxygenated hemoglobin is linked to?
You guessed it, cyber sickness.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So by monitoring these changes in real time, FNIRS basically gives us a window into how your brain is reacting to VR, and more importantly, when you're starting to feel sick.
Right, and with that information, we can start to adjust the VR experience to make it more comfortable.
Like a personalized VR experience that adapts to how your brain is feeling.
Exactly, and that's precisely what these researchers set out to do. They basically put a participant all hooked up with an FNIRS-enabled VR headset through a VR obstacle course, you could say.
Okay.
And tracked their brain activity in real time.
So they were watching for those telltale spikes in deoxygenated hemoglobin.
You got it. They also used the standard simulator sickness questionnaire, or SSQ, to get subjective feedback from the participant. And they even monitored heart rate just to get the full picture.
Okay, so what happened? Did it work?
Well, when the participant's brain started showing signs of stress, that increase in deoxygenated hemoglobin, and their SSQ scores confirmed they were feeling queasy, the researchers automatically narrowed the field of view in the VR experience.
So they used one of the existing solutions, but in a much more targeted and personalized way.
Precisely. Instead of just slapping on blinders from the get-go and hoping for the best, This is like having a co-pilot who can sense when you're about to hit some turbulence and adjust the flight path accordingly.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And the results.
Well, by narrowing the field of view only when needed, based on the participant's unique brain response, they were able to significantly reduce cyber sickness.
So it's all about personalization, mm-hmm. using your brain's response to tailor the VR experience.
Exactly.
That's incredible. This could be huge, not just for gaming, but for all sorts of VR applications.
Think about the potential for education, training simulations, even therapy.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is definitely a deep dive with some far-reaching implications. But I do have one question.
Okay.
What happens if the participant doesn't start feeling sick right away? Like maybe their brain is slow to react, but then, bam, they get hit with the wave of nausea out of nowhere.
That's a great question. And it highlights one of the challenges of using any physiological data, whether it's brain scans, heart rate, or something else.
Yeah.
There's always a bit of a lag between when your body starts experiencing something and when those physiological changes become detectable.
So how do we address that?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting, because it's not just about reacting to cyber sickness as it's happening. It's also about potentially predicting it before it even starts. And that's where artificial intelligence and machine learning come in.
So we're talking about using AI to predict cyber sickness before it even hits.
Yeah.
That sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi movie.
It does have a bit of a Minority Report vibe, right?
Yeah.
But instead of predicting crime, we're predicting nausea.
Right.
The idea is we can feed all this data from FNR's brain activity, heart rate, even things like your movement patterns in VR, into a machine learning algorithm.
Right.
Over time, that algorithm could learn to recognize the unique patterns in your brain activity that usually lead to cyber sickness.
Okay.
So then if the algorithm sees those patterns cropping up, it could tweak your VR experience on the fly to prevent the sickness in the first place.
And then you get like all the thrills, none of the chill.
Exactly.
You got it.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But how far along is this tech? Are we talking about the distant future or something that could be available soon?
It's moving faster than you might think.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about the researchers also measuring heart rate?
Yeah, to get a more complete picture of the participant's physiological response, right? Exactly. Now, heart rate data on its own might not be a perfect predictor of cyber sickness.
Right.
But it adds another valuable layer of information. When combined with FNIR's data and analyzed using powerful algorithms, it could significantly boost our predictive abilities.
So are we headed towards a future where our VR experiences are practically tailored to our DNA?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
It's not impossible, but even without going down the DNA route, the implications of this research are pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it gets even more interesting when you consider that FNIRs might have applications that go way beyond virtual reality.
Really? Like what?
Well, we've been talking about how FNIRs can help us understand how the brain reacts to sensory mismatches in VR.
Right.
But what if we could apply that same knowledge to other forms of motion sickness?
You mean like motion sickness from cars, boats, planes?
Yeah.
The kind that has people reaching for those little paper bags.
Precisely. Imagine being able to predict and even prevent motion sickness in those situations using a technology like FNIRs. It could be revolutionary for people who suffer from severe motion sickness.
No more motion sickness pills for those long car rides or flights.
Right.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, this technology could be life-changing for so many people. But I'm curious.
Yeah.
How exactly would this work outside of VR? Would you need to wear a headset everywhere you go?
That's a great question, and it's something researchers are still figuring out. For now, the focus is on using FNIRs to better understand the neurological mechanisms behind motion sickness. Once we have a clear picture of how the brain processes conflicting sensory information, we can start exploring more practical and user-friendly ways to apply this technology in everyday life.
So it's all about unlocking the secrets of the brain first.
Absolutely, and that's where it gets even more fascinating. You see, one theory about why some people are more susceptible to cyber sickness and motion sickness in general, is that their brains are less adaptable.
Less adaptable in what way?
In the sense that their brains have a tougher time reconciling conflicting sensory information. Their brains get stuck in a rut, clinging to the idea that what their body is experiencing must be true, even when their eyes are telling them something different.
So more adaptable brains are better at rolling with the punches, so to speak.
Exactly. And here's the really exciting part. If we can use FNIRs to pinpoint the brain activity patterns associated with higher adaptability, it opens up some incredible possibilities.
Like what? Don't leave me hanging, S.
What if we could use FNIRS not only to diagnose cyber sickness, but to train our brains to be more adaptable, to get used to those sensory mismatches that usually trigger motion sickness?
Wait, you're saying we might be able to actually train our brains to be less susceptible to motion sickness?
That's the idea. It's like the difference between treating the symptoms of a cold and actually boosting your immune system.
Wow.
And that brings us to a whole new level of thinking about motion sickness. By understanding the brain's response and its potential for adaptation, we might be on the verge of completely changing the way we approach VR and other immersive technologies.
So instead of just popping a pill and hoping for the best, we might be able to actually train our brains to handle motion sickness better.
Yeah, like you could actually get better at it.
That's a game changer.
It is. It's a whole new way of thinking about motion sickness, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just a nuisance. It's a window into how adaptable our brains can be. And by exploring that adaptability, we might unlock some truly amazing possibilities.
It's incredible to think that something that started with trying to make VR less puke-inducing could lead to these kinds of breakthroughs.
Right. I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of scientific exploration. You never know where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
We started with cyber sickness, and now we're talking about potentially enhancing the brain's adaptability.
Right.
All thanks to this technology, FNIRS, that lets us eavesdrop on our own brainwaves.
Like FNIRS is giving us a new language to understand and even communicate with our own brains.
I love that analogy because that's really what it's all about,
yeah.
Deciphering the language of brain activity.
Right.
Once we understand that language, who knows what we might be able to achieve.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today, what's the one big takeaway you want to leave our listeners with?
I think it's this. Cyber sickness, as annoying as it can be, is more than just a technological hiccup. It's a testament to the incredible adaptability of the human brain. And by diving deep into how our brains react to the challenges of virtual reality, we're not just making VR more enjoyable, we're unlocking secrets that could revolutionize how we treat motion sickness, boost our learning abilities, and maybe even push the boundaries of human perception itself.
Wow, now that's a thought to leave our listeners pondering. So next time you're feeling a little queasy in VR, remember your brain isn't trying to ruin your fun. It's just trying to make sense of a whole new reality. And who knows, someday soon that very experience might be the key to unlocking even greater potential within your own mind.